We've been looking at a study of homosexuality in the Bible over the past couple of weeks on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we want to continue that this morning. We're glad that you have joined us. We appreciate your support of this program and listening in. Over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at the fact that homosexuality is condemned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If you missed those particular studies and those programs, we would encourage you to go to our church website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. And parts 1 and 2 of the Bible and homosexuality are posted there under the Let the Bible Speak program. You can also get that on my personal website, thegoodteacher.com. thegoodteacher.com. And we've already looked at the fact that homosexuality, though it is practiced by many today, it is promoted, it is legal in many places, it is unlawful in God's word, and it is denounced and rebuked in God's word. There's basically a stark contrast on this particular topic, a stark contrast between what the Bible teaches and what is practiced in our society. And that's unfortunate. There was a day, if we lived decades ago, there was a day in which society on this topic and other topics, their view matched up with what the Bible says. But we are slowly seeing in our society and around the world a divergence, a departing, a separating between what society feels about something and what God's Word teaches about something. And that's unfortunate. And if we continue down that path, we're just going to have more and more problems, more and more sinful behavior. We've got to get God's Word back in our life. On the Let the Bible Speak program on this particular topic, I'm trying to call us back to Bible teaching. There may be some listening that have not heard what the Bible teaches about these matters. There was a time when it was a given that we all understood what the Bible said, but not anymore. And you may not have heard these things, and so we would encourage you to listen and learn and understand what the Bible teaches about this matter. Be informed. Ignorance is not bliss. Just acting like we don't want to learn anything or study anything, that's not good for our life. The other thing that I see in today's world, you'll see it a lot today in politics and in other popular societal issues such as abortion, homosexuality, transgender, illegal immigration, other types of things like that. You'll have this situation where someone wants to state their view, which is fine, but they don't want to listen to an alternative view. It's just one-sided with them. They want to speak their mind and then just walk off. They don't want to hear anything else. One of the biggest problems in our society today is the belief that someone else cannot teach me anything. Someone else cannot help me. Someone else cannot say something that would be good for me. We have this view of almost this hyper-independence, autonomy approach to life where my view is the only thing I'm going to consider, and I'm not ever going to consider that somebody else can say something that is right. Hear me out on the Let the Bible Speak program. More importantly, hear the Bible. There are times in our lives where someone can come along and teach us something and can help us. We're in a world today where everybody assumes, many people assume that no one can say something that would help them. So let's listen to what the Bible says about this matter. And if you missed our first two programs, we would encourage you to go back and pick those up and add that in with today's study. I want to begin this morning by looking at some statements that are made about homosexuality, some arguments that are used to justify homosexuality, and then we'll compare that with the Word of God. If we have time, we may have to extend this into a fourth part, but I'd also like to look at, people talk about human rights and homosexuals have a right to this and a right to that. And we'll close with that on the program. We may have to get to that next week. We'll see how our time goes. Homosexuality today, as I just said, it's viewed as a right. Some view it as a sickness. So let's start there. This idea that homosexuality is a sickness. It's just something you're born with. It may not be something that everybody does, but the person is not to blame for his feelings about this or that. And if he has homosexual feelings or she does, then that's certainly fine. I want to begin by just reminding us of the words that are used in the Old and New Testament for homosexuality. In Genesis chapter 19, verses 7 and 15, when the homosexuals there were beating on the door of Lot and they wanted to have a homosexual relationship with the men who came to stay with Lot, homosexuality is described as wickedness and iniquity. It's sin. It's described as an abomination in Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13. It's described as wickedness, folly, vile, lewdness, evil in Judges 19:23 and 24, Judges 20 verses 6 and 13. When you look at the Old Testament, it's never described as an illness or as a sickness. That's a modern day description of homosexuality that just simply excuses that behavior. I admit that there is something going on in the mind that is not right. A lot of times I'm hearing today about mental health and homelessness. I'm hearing is mental health, and drug addiction is a mental health issue, and homosexuality is a mental health issue. I agree with that. It's decisions that are being made in the mind, and so it has to do with the spiritual health of the mind and our thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he, the proverb says. So yes, it comes from mental thinking and mental issues, but a lot of times that statement, mental health, is used to downplay the responsibility and the accountability of the one engaged in the activity, whether it's homelessness, drug abuse, or homosexuality. They say, well, it's just a mental health issue. People are making bad choices, wrong choices, and we need to hold them accountable. We need to be accountable ourselves. We're getting away from responsibility and accountability in our society, where people just want to engage in whatever they want to engage in. And if it's something different or not to our liking, it may not be what we want or what we would personally do, but it's still okay. And these folks have a mental health issue. So just, you know, leave them alone. Well, they do have a mental health issue. Their choices in their mind are contrary to God's word. A lot of homelessness is due to laziness. A lot of drug use is due to the choice to take drugs, and people are in their right mind when they do it. And the same with homosexuality. Stop excusing behavior. Stop downplaying accountability and responsibility. There are some people who may be poor by no cause of their own. Maybe something struck their life that they didn't ask for, and they need some help. That's one thing. But there are many, many people who are homeless because they're lazy. And we won't get to the heart of the matter. We skirt all around it. We dance all around it. And we need to get to the heart of the matter. We need to get up and get to work. We need to stop taking drugs. We need to stop engaging in homosexuality. So these are terms, whether it's sickness or mental health or other alternative lifestyle or whatever words that are being used, it's getting people away from the real issue that it's wickedness, iniquity, abomination, lewdness, and so forth. When you come to the New Testament, it's the same thing. Homosexuality in Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27, as we studied last week, is described as vile passion against nature, unseemliness, and error. It's described, among other things, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 as unrighteousness, and it'll keep us out of the kingdom of heaven. We don't need to stay in homosexuality. If you want to stay in homosexuality, then you'll be kept out of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you need to get out of homosexuality. You can't have it both ways. It's described as unrighteousness in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It's described as something that is contrary to sound doctrine in 1 Timothy 1, 10. Homosexuality is not viewed by God as merely a sickness. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, it's described as ungodly, a lascivious life, which is a word that means loose and outside of the constraints of God's law. It's described as wicked. It's described as lawless deeds. It's described as unrighteousness. In Jude verse 7, homosexuality is described with the general word fornication, any sexual immorality, and is described as strange flesh. Strange doesn't mean weird or odd. It means that which is contrary to the authoritative norms of God's word. It's outside the bounds of God's authoritative word. Strange flesh. So let's get back to using Bible terms to describe what's actually going on and quit using terms to downplay sinful activity. People do that all the time. It's a ploy of the devil. And we downplay sexual activity so that we can justify sexual activity. Another word that is often used is that people talk about how that homosexuals should be treated with love, to which I would say amen. But people have a wrong concept of love. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. People have a concept that love allows you to condone things that are going on around you. And so if you love someone, you just condone what they're doing. Love, actually, if it's true biblical love, first of all, love will tell someone that they need to stop doing something or that they're lacking something. Jesus loved the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, 21, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lack, go sell whatsoever you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." He loved him, the text says, but he placed some conditions on him to be right with God. Love doesn't overlook things. Love doesn't condone things. Love does not encourage sinful behavior. It encourages people to get out of that. Here's another Bible example where love is used. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, different characteristics of true love. 1 Corinthians 13, 5, love does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, in other words, is not selfish, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. If we truly love a homosexual, which we should, we're going to not rejoice in the behavior that they're doing. We're going to speak the truth to them, and that's what we've been studying, the Bible truth, the past couple of weeks. What's the Bible truth on this matter? And we're going to share that with a homosexual in a nice, kind way, but we're not going to condone it. Yes, homosexuals need to be treated with love, just like anybody in life needs to be treated with love. The problem is people's misunderstanding of love. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul talks about speak the truth in love. And that's our slogan, if you will, at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where we speak the truth in love. It's both. It's not one or the other. It's both. And sometimes the truth hurts. But that's what we need to hear in order to get out of the behavior that we're in. We're not going to love you by condoning your sin. We're not going to love you by allowing you to stay in your sin. That's not love. Think about you going to a doctor and he or she knows that you have cancer but won't tell you. You want them to tell you, even though it might hurt. You want them to tell you so that you can get on with the business of getting rid of it. You want to know. We need to be the same with our spiritual lives. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea that was lukewarm, he said, "As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Reprove and chasten. I'm going to tell you no. I'm going to tell you to stop it. I'm going to tell you to repent. Stop your behavior. It's all coming from love. It should be the same with us as parents. Parents who truly love their children will sometimes reprove them when they need to. But we have a wrong concept of love. Love today equals condone behavior, encourage behavior, excuse behavior, and that's not biblical love. Homosexuals can cease their sinful activity and be forgiven. 1 Corinthians 6:11, some in Corinth were homosexuals. Homosexuality is not new. It goes back to Bible times. And there were some homosexuals in Corinth along with other sexually immoral individuals, sinful individuals. They stopped it and they were baptized into Christ. And friend, you can do that too. Or if you know of someone who's engaged in homosexuality, you can encourage them to stop that and get out of that. If I can help you, study with you and others about this matter, let's get together. We can stop it. It's not to be ignored. Judges 19:30. It's not to be condoned. Judges 20:12-13. It's not to be ignored and condoned, and our friends and family do it, so let's just let it ride. That's what the devil wants, and that's how he has gotten a hold on so many people in the world. Ignoring it, condoning it, excusing it, backing off of it, not preaching against it. And it's not just homosexuality. It's a number of sins in people's lives. The devil is wanting us to keep quiet. I could easily just keep quiet on the Let the Bible Speak program. Never bring it up. Never talk about homosexuality. Never use it as one of the topics on our study. Just never deal with it. And it'd make a lot of people happy. But I can't do that as a minister of the Word of God. I can't ignore what the Bible teaches. I can't condone what the Bible is against, what God is against. So it's not a sickness. It's a wickedness. And yes, homosexuals need to be treated with love, but we've learned that love tells a person to stop the sinful behavior. I want to look at some arguments that are often made by homosexual advocates. And what's interesting about this is a lot of these arguments are made by religious people who know their Bible but twist it and distort it to try to condone homosexual activity in their denomination. Many people neglect Bible verses on homosexuality. How is it that some Christians, and I put that in quotes, how can they justify homosexuality? Well, first of all, they neglect Bible verses. They ignore clear verses against homosexuality. The second thing they do is they are selective in their Bible verses. They focus on verses about love and forgiveness, and they overlook the verses that condemn homosexuality. We need to preach love and forgiveness, but there's a way to lovingly tell people the truth, and there's a way to properly be forgiven, and that is to repent of a sin and stop it. I'm all for love and forgiveness. But those must be done the right way, according to God's Word. A third thing that so-called Christians do to justify homosexuality is reinterpret Bible verses. We'll look at some of that today. They explain away plain Bible verses condemning homosexuality as not really condemning homosexuality. They just explain it away. And we'll give some examples of that in just a minute. And then the last thing they do, number four, is they substitute Bible verses. They substitute four Bible verses, excuse me. They might appeal to science and genetics instead of the Bible. They might appeal to feelings instead of the Bible. They might appeal to man-made law or statistics or polls instead of the Bible. And we have to ask ourselves, friends, in the judgment day, scientists are not going to be brought forward in genetic studies and polls, opinion polls, and man's law. God's book is going to be open. God's Word, that's what's going to judge us. You can read that in the latter part of Revelation chapter 20. The books will be open, not science books, not the books of man, but God's Word. So some neglect Bible verses, select Bible verses, reinterpret Bible verses, and substitute for Bible verses, and they claim to be Christians justifying homosexuality. So what are some of the things that they do? What are some of the arguments that they offer up? One that I've heard is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, where Adam was made and then God made a help meet for him. He made a woman. And you've heard it said maybe before that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He made a help meet. Well, they say that the word help meet means companion, and it does. And so their point is a companion. And they say, well, that's what a homosexual partner is. In other words, as long as you have a companion, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. Well, this is easily answered by looking at the context of Genesis 2, 18 through 24. God created a female and a wife for Adam. We must not ignore who God made to be a helpmeet for Adam. And what's interesting about this is that Adam and Eve did not have parents. They were the first couple. And yet, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, parents are brought up. Why is that? Adam and Eve don't have parents. But a father and a mother is brought up. This arrangement that God made is to be the arrangement for all time hereafter. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This is to be the pattern that would follow hereafter. And that's something that is very important. God was stating a pattern, even though Adam and Eve didn't have a father and mother, this is what's to happen later in every case thereafter. When someone has a father and a mother, leave them, cleave to your wife, and become one flesh, not cleave to your husband, two men or two women. A second argument that I've heard is with regard to the homosexuality of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. Some people say that the sin of Sodom there was inhospitality. They weren't being hospitable to the men who came to stay with Lot. And that sounds good, but it's simply not true. Jude comments on this story in Genesis chapter 19. When he talks about it, He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude verse 7, and the cities about them having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication. This is a sexual sin. It's not the sin of inhospitality. Not being nice to people, not allowing them to come into your home and give them a meal. It is, they were given over to fornication, that's sexual sin, and gone after strange flesh. Jude tells it's the sexual sin, and then he defines it even more. He narrows it down as going after strange flesh, or set forth an example of suffering, the punishment of eternal fire. Homosexuals burning in eternal hell fire. That's Jude. That's not Chris Reeves on the Let the Bible Speak program. It's not my opinion. I just read Jude 7. So no, the sin was giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. You can also see that in 2 Peter 2 verse 6. It's ungodliness. In the Old Testament, to know. And the man in Genesis 19 said to Lot, bring them out that we may know them. The Hebrew yada means in Genesis 19, verse 5 and verse 8, it refers to sexual intercourse. The New International Version, or the NIV, often translates it that way. And you'll see this in beginning in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, that the man knew his wife Eve and bare a son Cain. She conceived and bare a son Cain. Sexual intercourse. And the reason I want to mention that is that other people say that the sin of these Sodomites, these men of Sodom, their sin was homosexual rape. In other words, a man forcing himself on another man. It's non-consensual. And so as long as two men are consenting to their homosexuality today, activity, and it's not rape, then it's not the same thing. So what is being condemned is homosexual rape, not a consensual relationship. Well, that's not true either. Because in Genesis 19, the text says, bring them out that we may know them. This is the basic word used several times in the Old Testament, just simply to mean a sexual relationship. There's nothing discussed about it being rape or being forced. That's a quibble. That's an objection that is not sustained with Scripture. People keep trying to justify homosexuality, and you just can't use the Scripture to do it. Here's another point that I've heard through the years. It's based on Leviticus 18:22, if you want to turn over there. Leviticus 18:22, that condemns a man lying with a man. And that is that it is connected with idolatry there. And so as long as it's not connected with idolatry, then it's okay. But if you read the context, homosexuality is mentioned, and it's talking about immoral behavior, not just idolatry. Well, we'll start there. We're running out of time. Our time has passed quickly. We'll continue there looking at some arguments on another program. Lord willing, if you'll tune in next week, we would love to have you. Thank you for being with us today, and we hope that you'll have a good day.